I am going to read my sermon to you. When my wife learned this, she said, "You never did that in all those years and years and years in the parish or anywhere else. But by the end of the sermon, you may realize why." Sermon is on here, handwritten. Whew, we just heard this. What a reading from Job, huh? Everything in life had gone bad. Everything. Everything of value in Job's life destroyed. All of Job's 10,000 plus servant or 10,000 plus valuable income producing animals gone. Income all gone. His hundreds of faithful servants murdered. Plus, even more important, more dear, his beloved seven sons and three daughters, catastrophic, sudden death. His health utterly gone, now pain, torment. His dear wife, his longtime friends, they seem to turn on him, even God. Wait a minute, Job still has God, right? Not as far as Job could tell. God ignores Job's cries for help, his cries for answers, all ignored. He has no hope now. So why would Job chapter 30 be our scripture reading today? You wonder that then? Well, the first half of the reading that we have today is the reading for a national or local day of tragedy. Are you aware of one? Not I either. But Job's life, it sure was a life of tragedy at this point, wasn't it? As far as anybody can see. On the other hand, not printed on your folder here, someone else is involved in today's service too, and that is, today we also are scheduled to remember Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos, three good friends and co-workers of Paul, the Apostle Paul. They're spoken of by Luke in two different chapters of Acts, and of course, by Paul in four of his letters. Now wait just a second. In those four letters, to me, the most poignant note referred to these people is in the last letter. In Paul's last letter, 2 Timothy, right at the end among Paul's last recorded words before his execution. Listen, here are those words. "I am now being poured out. The time of my departure has come. I have kept the faith. Now there is waiting for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord will give me on that day." At my first hearing, everyone disappointed me. But the Lord stood by me, and I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me, and I'm going to insert a couple of words, a few words. Though I die this time, the Lord will rescue me, though I die this time, I would insert, and take me to his heavenly kingdom. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. You hear that? Paul's hope, his trust, still is in Jesus Christ, his Lord. So his very last recorded words now, "The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you." That "you" is plural. Paul says this, "The Lord be with you, with your spirit. Grace be with you," to Timothy and all those who would ever receive, hear, read this letter throughout all time until the last day. He writes this letter and he writes these words, I think, because no matter what, no matter how bad things are, Paul knows he himself is loved. He is not alone, not alone. He knows that our Savior Jesus Christ is with him and with Timothy and with all who receive this letter, and that includes then you and me. He is with us always, our Lord is, every moment. Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you all the days, even to the end of the world." All the days. So it turns out our Lord was active, was actually with Job, no matter what horrors came in Job's life, no matter how alone that Job felt. The Lord God heard everything Job had said. He knew every bit of Job's hurting. He forgave any lack of trust or incomplete faith in Job. He forgave Job because the Lord God, the Son of God, the promised Messiah, would come and pay the penalty for all Job's sins. The same for Paul, once known as Saul, complicit in murder, persecutor of Christians. Our same Savior came to Saul/Paul. He stayed with Paul to the end. Me too. Our Savior is with all of us too. I don't know, maybe at this point you're saying, wait a second, you may be saying to yourself, I suppose in thinking of you, no big deal, we all know all that already. Come on, you can close up the sermon now. Let's get out and get on with things well that we have to do. But I'm going to say that when we say that to ourselves, it's not always right. It's not always true. So here about, in addition to Job, in addition to Paul, one more child of God. My wife doesn't know I'm saying this. She doesn't know what I'll say. She never did before a sermon. Blessings to her until, right? Due to one hereditary medical condition, Jerry was on the verge of death for 14 days over 20 years ago. Right on the line of life and death, and in that large hospital intensive care unit, under a great deal of care, and they did not know if they could save him or not. That happened 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, when he was 47 years old. Then again, something happened by a cardiologist when he's doing a simple procedure, and he was gone again. Gone. That second incident 12 years ago did something else, too. It apparently triggered another really bad hereditary condition. This new, 12 years old now, this new condition destroys his ability to recall, to learn, to think clearly, to use knowledge and experience beyond the very moment that it runs in his head for a moment. It's not there for the future. One strange thing is that so far, I still remember what I used to get paid large dollars for to teach college and graduate students how to succeed. I still remember all the things that I taught them to do and not do, how to handle all this. When I was at the seminary in Springfield, they actually hired me to teach incoming students. Can you imagine that, a class? Many decades ago. But I still remember how to learn and remember. I still remember how to put knowledge together to see new connections and implications and applications. I remember how and what to do, but actually being able to do all the right things now, it keeps producing less and less for me. Less and less results. And what I do today may not matter tomorrow. And it keeps on going downhill. But the good thing is that, like with Job and Paul and Paul's friends, with all God's people throughout all time, yes, all time, we, that is you and I also, are not left alone. We are not ever deserted. In the 1,000 years of this world's history, God has forsaken only one person, and you already know who it is. And it's not you, and it's not me. He forsook his own Son, our Lord Jesus, on the cross, when the Father laid on him the iniquity of us all. And because of this one time only in all human history, we in Jesus are forgiven. We before God are clean, holy, pure, sinless. Unbelievable, isn't it, when I say those words? But it is true before God. Sinless, safe in Jesus. Now, at this very moment, and every day, even for all eternity, safe with Jesus. Jesus who died and rose for us. So every moment you are safe with your Savior, simply clinging to his life for you, and clinging to him for life with him. This means that Priscilla and Aquila and Apollos will welcome you and me in heaven. Paul will welcome you and me. Job will welcome us. Think of it. They will welcome you and me and all our brothers and sisters in Christ our Redeemer. Because the Holy Spirit, through the gospel, God's doing, has brought us, each one of you and me, to Jesus. And so I say, it's good to be here with you at the seminary. But it's going to be wonderfully better to be with you and all the saints in heaven with Jesus. Amen.